In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In about 2 weeks, it will be the third anniversary of my very first visit to St. Nicholas. This is hard for me to believe. In so many ways, it feels as though I've just arrived. But then I blinked a few times, and it's no longer 2010, it's 2013. In fact, I am as deep into my time here at St. Nicholas as Father Mark was when he announced his decision to retire. But for me, there are several numbers which help me to mark the passage of time. And in our small parish, since 2010, I have served 15 funerals, celebrated 18 baptisms and chrismations, blessed homes over 100 times, logged around 9,000 miles on church business. Much larger proportion of my hair and my beard are now gray. Other numbers have increased, some of them not so flattering. Numbers associated with my weight, numbers associated with my blood pressure. Here's a number that might elevate your blood pressure a few notches. If you add up all the Sundays and all the feast days and all the baptisms and all the funerals, you've already heard me preach around 160 or 170 times. God bless you. It's not always an easy thing. Now, if you've heard 160 sermons from somebody, chances are you have probably heard just about everything that that person has to say. Especially as Orthodox Christians, where we actually do have the same cycle of gospel readings and epistle readings every Sunday. That doesn't change for us. You will get to know very quickly over 160 sermons the rhythms of their speech. You know the general themes they like to hammer. You might even recognize a few repeats here and there over the course of the years. Same joke about the Gadarene swine flying off the cliff. Same remarks about zombies, Captain Kirk, during October here in Salem. Like an old sweater, even a new preacher can become familiar and comfortable. Comfortable enough, at least. No surprises. You kind of know it's coming. It's safe. That same sense of safety, that same sense of familiarity is felt by the Pharisees who surround Jesus in this morning's gospel reading. The Pharisees, we know they were the super religious folks of the day. They all had their PhDs in biblical studies. And they would, if they could, they would read and they would argue about Scripture all day long. That was their tradition. That was their calling. That was what they were there to do. For this reason, nothing in the Bible surprised them. There was nothing there that they did not know, that they had not heard. Many of them had committed long stretches of Scripture to memory. The Word of God was familiar and comfortable and safe. Jesus Christ, however, he explodes their sense of safety on that day. Our reading this morning is from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And this is a chapter that is filled with attempts by those Pharisees and by their counterparts, the Sadducees, to trick Jesus into saying something wrong, something blasphemous, something incorrect about the Word of God. It is a chapter full of trick questions. These sort of learned and these erudite scholars of Scripture from the city are trying to put this backwater Nazarene in his place. And so this is when one of the lawyers among the Pharisees, he asks Jesus a kind of grand philosophical question. He asks, of all the Jewish laws, what is the greatest commandment? St. Matthew records that Jesus answers well. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is Matthew's gospel. In St. Luke's gospel, that lawyer goes on to ask another question. He says, but who is my neighbor? In an attempt to justify himself. And we know that our Lord goes on to tell the parable of the prodigal son in St. Luke's gospel, but not in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew, after Jesus answers the lawyer's question, Jesus then turns the tables on the experts. Jesus then asks them a question. Jesus turns to the Pharisees and he asks, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" The Pharisees say to him with confidence, "The son of David." But then Jesus says, "Well, this cannot be. Go back to that book that you know so well. Go back to the Psalms. Go back and look at the scriptures. And there you will find that King David calls the Messiah, my Lord." The very first verse of Psalm 110, David reports that God is speaking to his Messiah, his Christ. And David calls both God and his Christ, he calls them both Lord. He says, "The Lord, God Almighty, said to my Lord, the Christ, come and sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool." And so Jesus turns to the Pharisees and asks, "How then is it possible for Christ to be the son of David if David calls him Lord?" St. Matthew reports that no one was able to answer him a word. They were stunned. Jesus opened up the scriptures and showed them something they never saw before. And Matthew also says that from that day on, no one dared to question him anymore. Brothers and sisters, an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ should always be an experience that blows us away. It should always explode our false sense of safety. You cannot expect to encounter the living God and remain the same. Think of all those examples from the New Testament alone. The fishermen who became apostles, the harlot, the woman at the well, and in a few weeks' time, we will once again hear the story of Zacchaeus, whose simple desire to see the Lord brought salvation to him and to all of his house. Each of these figures, and all of us who serve Jesus as Lord and King, share one thing in common. They and we cannot ever again see the world in the same way. The world they once knew had been transformed, had been transfigured by the light and the truth which has been revealed to them through their encounters with this one that they then go on to call Lord and King. They now see colors they could never see before. They hear notes and harmonies that they could never hear before. The bitter waters of life are now sweetened with the knowledge that the Lord of all creation has come to live among us and to give us the gift of himself. Just as he touched the lives of those fishermen from Galilee, the woman at the well and Zacchaeus and all those tax collectors and prodigals, he is here among us doing the same, begging us to let down our walls, to leave our zones of comfort, to experience the depth and the fullness of life in the Spirit which is poured out on all who make Jesus Christ their Lord and King. Brothers and sisters, each morning we wake up and we stand before God either as fishermen or as Pharisees. Either we are fishermen who are ready to be surprised by God's love, fishermen who are ready to have their lives transformed by the revolutionary words of Jesus Christ, fishermen who are ready to become apostles. Or we stand before God each morning as Pharisees, content with all the comfortable bits of our faith. The Pharisees in the gospel reading this morning had settled into routines that were safe and predictable, believing that they had God and themselves all figured out. And that is one way that life might unfold. Always aiming to maintain and preserve what is familiar, what is comfortable. Convinced that Christ has come to make the world safe for Pharisees, unwilling to believe that Jesus has come to turn fishermen into apostles. This morning, the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians and he reminds them that Jesus Christ is our life. Five words. He is our life, and when he appears in glory, we will appear with him. He has come to renew us and to break down all dividing symbols. He writes, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. These comfortable ways of putting people into categories, this way of safely judging others, it is exploded by the deeper reality that our true self, who we really are, is only known as we surrender ourselves more and more deeply to Christ, as we surrender ourselves to God through his Son in the Holy Spirit. In Paul's language, Christ is all and in all. Jesus Christ is our life. May this good news, and it is good news, may this good news give us the courage both as persons and as a parish. May this good news give us the courage to be fishermen rather than Pharisees. Amen.